Welcome to Our Noble Challenge. Pastor Eric Koonin now leads us in the study of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, his ministry partner, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, one who correctly divides the word of truth." Today we invite you to join us in your copy of the Scriptures as we examine together the Word of God under the direction of Pastor Koonin.
Ephesians 6. Dana, you did a good job picking out the songs tonight. One in particular went with my message. Don't know if you did it on purpose or if it was providential. The third stanza of Stand Up for Jesus says, stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. That's true. This is talking about spiritual warfare, which is where we're going tonight. Ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor. We're going to be talking about the armor of God. Each piece put on with prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Goes right along with my message. So, did you know that this was going to go along with my message tonight, Dana? Yeah. Did you know this was going to go along with my message? Okay, good. Yeah, an idea. Okay, good. Way to go. We are talking about spiritual warfare tonight. How about turning with me to Ephesians 6? We're actually going to deal, we've been in the book of Ephesians, Michael was telling me when we started, was it a year ago, July? Maybe we'll finally get done here in the next month or two. I know some of you are praying to that end that I'll finally get through the book of Ephesians. We're getting close. This is actually the last major doctrine that we're going to deal with. And it seems kind of strange that Paul would bring it at the end of the book, don't you think? But perhaps not. When you go through the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, we enter into some really major doctrine that are rather deep, don't you agree? We talk about some things that are rather heady and deeply theological. Then the last half of the book gets a little more practical in the doctrine and theology that we deal with. And so in the first three chapters, here we are getting down to the nitty-gritty of all of these deep, soteriological, salvation-oriented, complex passages, talking about some things that have to do even as well, not only with salvation, but with our separation and how we live as Christians. Then we get into the last half of the book, talking about really practical things. As you know, we spent a lot of time talking about being filled with the Spirit, talking about how important it is as well to be submissive to one another. Have you noticed that to be a political buzzword with one of the people that are running for president, I guess, the nomination, I guess, would be more specific. But they're talking about being submissive. I find that interesting. In fact, I turned on, I flipped through the news real briefly on Sunday morning, seeing if there's something new, tragedy in Indiana at the Indiana State Fair where people were killed. I know, sorry to hear that. Here's some things that are reruns and such. But I was flipping through, and there was a commentary made by a theologian that teaches at Union or one of the liberal seminaries out east. And he was commenting to the newscaster on CNN when I was flipping through the news channels about, and I kind of paused there for a moment, but he was talking about submission. I thought, well, how interesting. But he didn't get it right. He said, oh, that's arrogant of you, Pastor. Well, he kind of moved himself away from what the Word of God said. And that's when you get in trouble. It sounded pretty good for a couple of minutes there, and then you start moving away from the Word of God. And we have to always understand how we live and what we believe through God's Word. And it's one of the things that we're really jumping up and down about, as you know, on Sunday morning. We want you to be able to feed yourself and to be able to come up with doctrine and that's sound and good and will carry you through the course of your life. And we want to be able to give you sound doctrine as we dispense the Word of God to you several times in the course of a week. And that's important to us. Well, we talked about some of those things. Then we went into the family. Then we talked about as well even employment issues last week, as well as employers. And that brings us to verse 10. And it says, "Finally, my brethren," and everybody stood up and rejoiced right here, Brian. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That sounds really intense, doesn't it? I don't want to stand against the wiles of the devil. But I'm afraid if you do everything that we talked about in the first five and a half of six, if you do all of those things that we discussed, that you believe the truth of God's Word and you put it into action, you will, I'm going to say this again, you will stand against the wiles of the devil. You will come into a confrontation of the demonic itself. "Oh, Pastor, you're getting into B-movies and you're talking about hocus pocus and a bunch of stuff that's just superstition." No, remember who we are. We believe intensely in the Word of God. We believe that the Word of God is infallible. We believe it to be true with all of our hearts. And when we read God's Word, we say, now what are we going to do to handle it and to deal with God's Word? Again, we come and Paul says, "Finally, my brethren," and he enters into arena of spiritual warfare. It's my obligation, as much as we like to jump over certain passages, that's why we're over a year in the book of Ephesians. When we come to a passage, we don't avoid it saying, "Well, this isn't for you." We don't avoid a passage because it's not popular. We don't avoid a passage because it's controversial. We can't function that way. We have to deal with the Word of God, don't we? That's part of being students of the Word. In fact, that's part of being Bereans, isn't it? We try not to echo forth, "I want to give you the Word of God as plainly as I possibly can." I was telling Judy today, now what am I? I'm a delivery boy, right? If you were down the road a few weeks ago, I told the people down the road, and you, some of you folks, I'm a delivery boy. I try to give you what the Word of God says. I try to get out of the way from my own angles on everything. I want to give you the Word of God. So I want to tell you what God's Word says. I want you to believe it, live it. Those are important concepts. I need to ask you a question on the very beginning. Do Christians really ever go through the armor of God? I want you to think a minute. Do Christians ever really go through the armor of God? You see it here in verses 12 and following. Verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Isn't that kind of, you know, maybe symbolic talk or something of that nature? What is this? Well, we're not going to get into all the elements tonight because, as you know, I don't work that fast. And for me to get through the armor of God tonight would probably not do this passage justice. But you'll notice there are a lot of different elements to this. Verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Man, you know, this is something else. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So this is my question. When was the last time you heard someone say, maybe I can't go out this evening, I can't catch the ball game, I'm going to put on the armor of God tonight? Have you ever heard anyone ever say, you know, I've been really battling a lot of spiritual wickedness, and I need to put on the armor of God? Have you ever heard anybody say that? Now, I have to admit, you know, there's been discussions I've been around. People have said, you know, I'm putting on the armor of God. But it doesn't seem like something I hear practically spoken hardly ever. One of the things that I've been dealing with personally in this passage is a word out of the original that has to do with put it on in verse 11. Where it says put on, I've been trying to determine if that is a one-time permanent act or if we have to do it over and over again. I tend to think that though the particular word in the original may have the idea of more of a permanence, I'm trying to discern if this means for that particular attack, put it on now and keep it on until the attack is over, or if it's good enough to do it one time and then you're good, you know what I mean? I tend to think that Christians are forgetful, that we get distracted. And let's put it this way. If nothing else, it's not going to hurt if you do it again, will it? Let me put it that way. I rarely hear Christians talking about the armor of God. And I am asking myself, why is that? Is it just kind of, you know, something we brush off? Or do we, none of us ever, and I say this carefully, but do none of us ever confront supernatural wickedness? Verse 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness at the end of that verse in high places. Spiritual wickedness in high places happens to be what? The demonic, right? Do you ever wrestle against supernatural wickedness? Do you wrestle? Do you give in? Do you perhaps say, I'm kind of like a double agent. I work, you know, I don't always want to give in on everything the world has to do. I don't want to give in on everything that's pleasurable, that perhaps may be somewhat sinful out there. And sometimes the demonic tempts me, the world tempts me, and I kind of give in. And so maybe the supernatural wickedness doesn't bother me at all. Why doesn't it bother us? Are we not in a position? I'm asking myself with you about some of these questions, so you'll ask the question as well in your own heart. Why are we not in positions enough where I hear Christians talking about wrestling against spiritual wickedness? I confess I do. Okay? I'm not trying to be special or anything else. I really don't like it. I really don't like it. If sometimes I look distressed in my life, it's probably in those moments that I'm having about, you know what I mean? Where it's not always the same way. And I'll talk more about this perhaps in the next couple of weeks, what I think it should look like. I would like to tell you that the only thing we ever confront are people and problems and ideas. And perhaps for a lot of people, maybe they've just have said, well, whatever I face in my life are my own personal problems. Perhaps the only things that I face in my life are other people. And I don't really give much credence to facing the demonic. I told you I remember pastoring in a church about 30 years ago, and a guy came up to me and he says, you don't really believe that, do you? About the devil and hell and demons and all that sort of thing. I said, absolutely I do. It's in the Bible. Really? He said. Really? So some people come, and there's a lot of reasons. But you know, there's battles. I got to tell you, I'm going to say this again. If you live a sold-out life for the Lord Jesus Christ and you try and attempt to do all that is possible to live for Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, you're going to confront spiritual wickedness. You will. It comes with the territory. There's a desire on the part of the demonic to bring the name of Jesus Christ to shame. He wants you to be defeated. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to lose the battle. He doesn't want you to live for Jesus Christ. There is a battle waging. He doesn't want Berean Baptist Church to prosper. He doesn't want you to be successful in your personal Christian life, so that when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, you will say to yourself, you know, I don't know, I'm discouraged. Why does God let me be discouraged? Why am I feel defeated? Why do bad things happen in my life? Maybe I just don't want to live for the Lord anymore. Maybe it's a good reason why I don't study my Bible. Maybe it's a reason why I don't come to the throne of grace and call out to God and fall down on my knees to Him. Sometimes perhaps we think we're strong enough on our own to confront all of these demonic hordes. Do you notice what verse 10 says? Where he says, finally, my brethren. You see, why do unsaved people fight against the demonic? Not much, to be frank with you. Do you remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? What was it, way back in John chapter 6? Tells them that you are of your father, the devil. Isn't that what that happened to be? Which passage is it? Is it 8? 8:44, thank you. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Isn't that kind of confrontational language? Didn't Jesus confront the devil himself? Didn't even Jesus say to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan? It's rather unbelievable. I think a lot of times we just kind of throw in the towel in the whole business. And there are people, too, that sometimes think that, well, maybe I can take Satan on and the demonic hordes in my own strength, in the sense that, have you ever heard anybody say, tell the devil I bind you? Have you heard that one before? Remember what Jude, I believe verse 9, let's see if I can remember that passage tonight and not get all my passages and my brain muddled up. It says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. And it says this, he dared not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Don't you find it rather incredible that Michael the archangel would not rebuke the devil, but you and I think that perhaps we have the power, the strength to say we can rebuke the devil? There is no passage in Scripture that commands you to do that. There's nothing in the Bible that tells you that. In fact, it appears just the opposite. We're not in the business of rebuking the devil, but in fact, that is an offensive move. That is a move, if you're doing warfare, that we say goes into the offense. We're going on the attack. That is not how Scripture plays out. Scripture plays out in a different way. It appears the armor of God is all defensive, does it not? Maybe you say, maybe I won't live a faithful life for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to have any of these confrontations. Listen, we are called to live for the sake of Jesus Christ. That is who you are and what you are called to do and to be. So verse 10 immediately tells us you don't have the strength on your own. You need strength if you're going to live for Jesus Christ because there is a battle. Psalmist says, from whence cometh my help? It comes from the strength of God, does it not? And so we're told, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Interesting that he begins the armor of God and is called the armor of God with that in mind. You must stand in His power. You urgently need to stand in the power of God. Sometimes football players put down Philippians 4:13, right? On their eye black, under their eyes. And remember what the verse says? It's one of those simple verses many of you have memorized. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Perhaps those are battles that sometimes we need strength from God for, since every breath we take, we're certainly reliant on Him. But you know, sometimes we need strength beyond the scope of the physical, and sometimes we don't see the benefit of the spiritual. We need the power of God in our lives, including I can do these battles against spiritual wickedness in high places, but I can only do it through the strength of God. I can do all things through Him. I'm not capable of taking on spiritual wickedness, the demonic, on my own. I don't want to do it. I'm not talking about casting out demons and doing all that kind of thing. I'm talking about being able to stand forth in your Christian life and not be defeated. You understand what I'm saying tonight? There are too many defeated Christians in 2011, and guess who's getting the victory? You're losing the battle in the invisible, in the supernatural. You're not seeing the value of the fact that you need the power of God to go up against them. And you think if you can pull up your bootstraps on your own and take them on, you're wrong. It's the power of God. You see, it's splashed in verses 10 and following. It's just everywhere. It's the armor of God. It is His power where you obtain the victory. You do not have the strength. In fact, it says, put on the whole armor of God. Put it all on that you may be able to stand. Quickly look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This goes along with this passage. I'm interested sometimes in comparing passages in some of these areas to think that, you know, how am I going to be able to take care of these matters? What can I share with you folks in regard to spiritual battles? How are we going to stand up? Some of the, you know, sure, we blame ourselves for a lot of things. And you remember the old Flip Wilson line, he on the opposite side, some of you that are ancient like me, there was a famous quote, or maybe I should say an infamous quote of Flip Wilson many years ago. Do you remember? In fact, it was so popular it became a slogan. And people would put it on different things. And it was, the devil made me do it. Do you remember that? And he liked to say that, the devil made me do it. It's not always the devil that makes us do things, okay? Sometimes it's an excuse. Sometimes it is our flesh. And Satan uses our flesh and sometimes the world. But you have to understand there's a battle in the supernatural. We think that all that there is what is the visible. But we also do battle with the invisible, do we not? The unseen. This is not meant to frighten you. This is meant to prepare you. This is meant to give you strength. You can have victory. This is about victory. The whole goal of discussing passages like this isn't to make you go home and pull your blanket up over your head when you go back home. The whole point of this message is for you Christians that want to live a victorious Christian life, for you to understand that you can have a victorious life. It's for you to understand that you will do battle. There are a lot of things in Scripture that talks about the Christian life is like being a soldier, right? Paul likes to use the analogy of being a soldier. And you will do spiritual warfare. You will have a spiritual battle. I want you to have victory and not throw in the towel. I don't want you to be a useless Christian. I want you to be a useful Christian. But so often we let the devil have the sway in the matter, that he'll have the victory. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You understand the flesh? That's the visible. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of the flesh. The weapons that we need are actually in the spiritual. You know, it's not like you're going to go and say, you know, like some old evangelist that doesn't have it together says, you know, and starts banging on the pulpit and, you know, and whacking the pulpit. And says, I'll defeat you, Satan, you know, and I'm going to get you, man, and I'm going to take a broom after you. And that's not how we do it. Anybody was sleeping just now? Maybe it was good I woke you up. I don't know. But it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not of the flesh, but mighty through whom, folks? Through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, and we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, you don't see military people that are doing battle wearing flip-flops, Bermuda shorts, tank tops, and using a pea shooter for a weapon, do they? It's ridiculous, right? You don't go into battle doing that. You don't go into battle, you know, like you're taking a walk down the beach or you're irritating a kid in the classroom somewhere, and you got a straw, and you remember the proverbial old spit wads? I don't know, I'm trying to give you kids any ideas. Maybe that's an ancient thing, too. Maybe that was one good thing that may have passed by. I doubt it. Those are things that seem to come up historically, even into the modern times. But you don't take a pea shooter into a battle, do you? You don't take a knife into a gunfight. You got to be armed. And this is what this is about. You're a Christian. You belong to Jesus Christ. He loves you and wants to give you a victorious Christian life. But too many of you are wearing flip-flops and shooting spit wads when you don't have to be doing that, and you're wondering why you're losing the battle. That's your strength. God is all powerful and mighty, and He wants you to depend on Him. And He says, listen, I want to equip you. And you say you think you got the right equipment because you're smart, because you're good looking, because you got all the things going for you. You're clever, you're wily, you're strong. Just don't got it, folks. God is the one who gives you the strength, and you need to understand this. This is something that I've studied for years and years and years of my life, trying to understand how do you battle spiritual wickedness. It's meant to be clear and definitive, something that you can do and you must do. If you do it once and that equips you for all the rest of the time, or if you become forgetful and weak and you fall by the wayside because you're losing out again because you stopped doing it. I think the reality is, I think some people can put it on once and they always hang on to it. I think there are other people that seem to have a hard time keeping on the spiritual warfare. Well, back to Ephesians 6. Let's conclude this evening. Put it on. You're not strong enough. You don't got what it takes. I'm sorry. I don't either. I don't have what it takes. I'm not equipped for all that sort of thing, to do all these things. So put on the armor of God. The devil's wily. Let's finish with this. The devil is wily. He's clever. He's astute. He's actually smarter than all of us. How can we stand against him if he's smarter than us, if he's more clever than us, if he's more capable than all of us? How are we going to stand up against him, Pastor? That's why we put on the armor of God. You have some special equipment that we're going to discuss. But don't try to take them on with your own resources. Just remember, don't take the pea shooter and the flip-flops into battle, all right? Oh, Father, we pray tonight that we might begin to understand the armor of God. Thank you for the truth of your word that equips us and prepares us for victory, not defeat. You've called us to live the Christian life, and may we be those kind of people who are willing to live for Jesus Christ at all costs. We're followers of you, Lord. We belong to you. And so as we recognize these nasty areas that the devil wants us to lose the battle and bring shame for Jesus Christ, may we be prepared instead to stand up against him. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Our Noble Challenge. Our Noble Challenge is a production of Berean Baptist Church. Pastor Eric Coonan and the congregation of Berean invite you to join us when you can for a service of worship at 10:30 Sunday mornings. If you're interested in the Sunday school hour, you may show up at 9:30. We are located at 12985 Tollgate Road, Pickerington, Ohio, 43147. You can also reach our office by phone at 837-5204 or join us on the web at BereanBaptistChurch.com. Berean spelled B-E-R-E-A-N, BaptistChurch.com. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.